Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from The Voice of America. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear this week's technology report from Ryan Lynn. Later, Steve Ember brings us the latest in the ongoing American history series, Making of a Nation. But first, this story about German automaker Volkswagen's move to invest in electric vehicles. The German automobile maker Volkswagen has launched what it is calling the best electric car for the masses. The Associated Press describes the car as the leading edge of a wave of new battery-powered vehicles about to hit the European auto market. They are the result of big investments in battery technology and new factories. But it is not at all clear whether people are ready to buy these vehicles. Electric cars still make up less than 2% of the market. That is partly a result of higher costs and worries about a lack of places to refresh the batteries. It adds up to a risky investment for car companies. Volkswagen's new electric vehicle is called the ID.3. It has lots of room inside, accelerates quickly, and can travel up to 550 kilometers without needing a recharge. The company believes the ID.3 will change people's feelings about electric cars. Volkswagen argues that the base cost under $33,000 makes it an electric car for everyone. A leading competitor, Tesla's Model 3, starts at about $40,000 in Europe. But the company's website notes the Model 3 can cost over $44,000 depending on additions made to the vehicle.
Volkswagen demonstrated the ID.3 earlier this week before the Frankfurt Motor Show. The company also showed off a new advertising design. Both moves aim to demonstrate changes at the company since its 2015 scandal. At the time, the United States Environmental Protection Agency discovered that Volkswagen was using software to cheat on emissions testing. The company paid more than $33 billion in fines. The ID.3 goes on sale in Europe next year. Volkswagen plans to launch a larger electric vehicle in the U.S. at a later date. The company is deploying wide-reaching financial and manufacturing know-how to make a success of its electric cars. Volkswagen says it will have invested over $33 billion in this area by 2023. It has spent about $1.3 billion on a factory in eastern Germany to make the ID.3. That is the first of 8 planned electric car factories, including one in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The company, which sold 10.8 million vehicles last year, aims for 40% of its sales to be electrics by 2030.
Experts warn that the industry could be stuck with slow-selling products that hurt earnings in a weakening international car market. Electrics were only 1.8% of the European market through the first 6 months of the year. So far, it has mainly been government rules leading the launch of electric cars, not the public. Above all, companies are working to make electric cars to meet stronger rules on carbon emissions and pollutants, especially in the European Union, or EU, and China. The industry has spent billions developing its new generation of electric vehicles, wrote Max Warburton of the research company Bernstein. But this money is being spent without convincing evidence that customers are waiting for these cars. The EU has new limits on emissions of carbon dioxide, or CO2, the main gas blamed for rising temperatures in Earth's atmosphere. The limits come into effect fully in 2021. Cars will have to produce no more than 95 grams of CO2 per kilometer. Failure to meet these limitations means a fine for every gram of CO2 over the limit per car. Ferdinand Dudenhofer is with the Center for Automotive Research at the University of Duisburg-Essen in Germany. He says each electric car sold could be worth more than $11,000 in avoided fines. China is a major market for German car makers. It is also pushing for lower emission vehicles. Yet the U.S. government has put less pressure on car makers to produce electric vehicles. President Donald Trump and his administration have sought to ease rules on vehicle efficiency set by the Obama administration.
To date, electrics are most popular in wealthier countries where the average person earns over $44,100 a year. In poorer countries, electrics are nowhere to be seen. Just 293 sold in Slovakia, for example, and 315 last year in Greece. Financial incentives are important. In Norway, where electrics were over 30% of the market last year, incentives were responsible for almost $13,000 in tax breaks. Finding a place to charge is another issue. Tesla has its own system of fast charging stations along major roads and highways. A group of automakers, including Volkswagen, aims to have 400 highway charging stations by 2020. While Volkswagen has been pushing hard for electric cars, others are going about it more slowly. Daimler has the EQC Sport Utility Vehicle, or SUV, which shares parts with an existing traditional gasoline-powered engine. That means lower new investment spending. BMW is launching its iX3 electric SUV and an electric Mini. BMW's experience shows the difficulties. It was first with an all-electric car, the i3 City Car, in 2013. But Bernstein researchers report the company lost money on it and canceled another kind of electric car that was meant to follow the i3. In all, some 20 new electric cars will hit the market by 2021. If demand is lacking, car makers may have to sell the cars to rental companies and other businesses. They may also require employees to take them as company cars or offer customers cost-cutting deals, all of which would reduce profits. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
And I'm Pete Musto.
Apple launch events usually involve new products and product improvements, along with higher prices for some devices. But at the launch event this week, the company announced a number of new products without raising prices. In the case of Apple's low-end iPhone, the price was lowered from the current model. Apple also reported that the price for its new video service will be well below competing companies like Netflix and Disney+. And the company said it plans to launch a video game subscription service on September 19th. Industry experts say Apple's price freeze and expansion into a pay video service appear to be an answer to a drop in iPhone sales worldwide the past few years. It has become more difficult for Apple to get people to pay for new devices that sell for $1,000 or more. This year, iPhone shipments are down 25%, technology researcher IDC reported. The drop has put more pressure on Apple to generate earnings from service offerings like music, video, and gaming. The company was able to raise its services revenue 14% to nearly $23 billion during the first half of this year. None of the new products demonstrated this week differ greatly from earlier models. They include three new smartphones, the iPhone 11, iPhone 11 Pro, and the iPhone 11 Pro Max. The main difference for the iPhone 11 is that it has two back cameras, including a lens designed to take extra-wide images. This model starts at $699. The iPhone 11 is meant to replace the iPhone XR, which has a higher price of $749. The iPhone 11 Pro sells for $999. It has three cameras on the back, including one for extra-wide photographs and one for telephoto. The iPhone 11 Pro Max also has the three-camera design and the biggest display of all the models. It starts at $1,099, the same price as the iPhone XS Max from last year. The company also showed off new camera tools, including one to improve picture quality in low-light conditions and a new setting aimed at helping capture human subjects. Apple says all the new iPhones are made with long-lasting batteries. Users of the iPhone 11 Pro Max can expect the power to last up to 5 hours longer than the iPhone XS Max, the company said. All the new models will begin shipping on September 20th. The launch event also included new versions of the Apple Watch and iPad. The new Series 5 watch now has an always-on display, which many competing devices already have. The Series 5 will come in new case designs, such as titanium and ceramic, and it will work with a new compass app for directions. Apple is offering a new low-end model iPad with a larger display size, starting at $329. It also launched a new iPad Pro, which the company calls the most advanced iPad ever. That model, designed to compete with laptop computers, starts at $799. One big announcement was that the company plans to launch its new Apple TV Plus video service on November 1st. Users will pay $4.99 per month. In the first few weeks, the service will have 9 Apple-produced shows and movies, some with major Hollywood stars, with more to be added each month. The Apple TV Plus starting price is below Netflix's rates of $8.99 to $15.99. The offer is also lower than the planned Disney Plus video service, which is set to launch November 12th for $6.99 a month. Apple is offering Apple TV Plus free for 1 year to buyers of a new iPhone, iPad, Mac, or iPod Touch. Apple also announced the September 19th launch of its Apple Arcade video game service. The service, costing $4.99 a month, will offer unlimited use of more than 100 different games. One thing not announced at the launch event was when Apple planned to release iPhone models that will support the new 5G wireless system. Apple competitors, including Samsung, are already offering 5G device versions at a higher cost. But industry experts say Apple is currently in a holding pattern for the new technology. They say 5G iPhones are not expected to be released until next year. So users will have to wait until 2020 to see if Apple goes back to higher pricing for its latest 5G models. I'm Brian Lynn.
From VOA Learning English, this is The Making of a Nation, American History in Special English. I'm Steve Ember. This week in our series, we complete the story of the American Revolution. The time is December 1776. British General William Howe has decided to stop fighting during the cold winter months. The general is in New York. He has already established control of a few areas near the city, including Trenton and Princeton in New Jersey. General George Washington and the Continental Army are on the other side of the Delaware River. The Americans are cold and hungry. They have few weapons. Washington knows that if Howe attacks, the British will be able to go all the way to Philadelphia.
He's looking at his army, which is melting away.
Historian Gordon Wood says that moment was the low point of the war for George Washington.
And he decides to make one great effort on Christmas night and crosses the Delaware, dead of winter, cold, ice, and he crosses and attacks Trenton, where you have about 1,000 Hessians, who are kind of overwhelmed and defeated. It's a small tactical victory, but a great psychological effect, because it's the first time that Washington had actually done something positive, and it really does, I think, change the psychology of the war.
Another result of the victory at Trenton was that more men decided to join the army. It now had 10,000 soldiers. This new Continental Army, however, lost battles during the summer to General Howe's forces near the Chesapeake Bay. And in August 1777, General Howe captured Philadelphia. Following these losses, Washington led the army to the nearby area of Pennsylvania called Valley Forge.
Valley Forge was the camp where George Washington and his army spent a really miserable, miserable winter.
Alice Camps is a curator at the National Archives in Washington, where some of the country's most important documents are kept. One of those documents is a letter that George Washington wrote from Valley Forge.
And the men had nothing to wear. They had no blankets. They had very little to eat. Illnesses were rampant. It was a very, very miserable experience for them.
But in the middle of that winter, Washington finds out that France has decided to sign a treaty with the colonists.
This is fantastic news. This is the kind of news that would make anyone just run about screaming with joy and doing handstands. But Washington is so reserved, and he says that he's received this news with, quote, the most sensible pleasure, unquote.
He also says he is going to wait for the government to approve the treaty before he tells the army.
The fact that he is not going to announce this news immediately to his army speaks to the fact that he was always, always concerned with doing the right thing and with protocol.
By the spring of 1778, General Washington and his army were ready to fight again. General Howe was still in Philadelphia. His behavior as a military leader was sometimes difficult to understand. At times, he was a good commander and a brave soldier. At other times, he stayed in the safety of cities instead of leading his men in battle. The next series of important battles in the American Revolution was led by another British general, John Burgoyne. His plan was to capture the Hudson River Valley in New York State and separate New England from the other colonies. Doing this, the British believed, would make it easier to capture the other colonies. The plan did not succeed. American General Benedict Arnold defeated the British troops in New York. General Burgoyne had expected help from General Howe, but that help never came. Burgoyne was forced to surrender at the town of Saratoga. The American victory at Saratoga was extremely important. It ended the British plan to separate New England from the other colonies. It also showed European nations that the Americans might be able to win their revolution. This was something that France especially had wanted ever since being defeated earlier by the British in the French and Indian War. The French government had been supplying the Americans secretly through the work of America's minister to France, Benjamin Franklin. Franklin was popular with the French people and with French government officials. He helped gain French sympathy for the American cause. After the American victory at Saratoga, the French decided to enter the war on the American side. The two nations signed military and political treaties. Historian Gordon Wood says this alliance created bigger problems for the British.
Because once the French were involved, it turns the thing from counterinsurgency for the British. They're now fighting a world war.
The British immediately sent a message to America's Continental Congress. They offered to go back to a time of better relations. the Americans rejected the British offer. The war would be fought to the end. In 1779, Spain entered the war against the British. And the next year, the British were also fighting the Dutch to stop their trade with America. The French now sent gunpowder, soldiers, officers, and ships to the Americans. However, neither the Americans nor the British made much progress in the war for the next 2 years. By 1780, the British had moved their military forces to the American South. They quickly gained control of South Carolina and Georgia. But the Americans prevented them from taking control of North Carolina. After that, the British commander moved his troops to Yorktown, Virginia. The commander's name was Lord Charles Cornwallis. Both he and George Washington had about 8,000 troops when they met near Yorktown. Cornwallis was expecting more troops to arrive on British ships. What he did not know was that French ships were on their way to Yorktown, too. Their commander was Admiral François Comte de Grasse. De Grasse met some of the British ships that Cornwallis was expecting and defeated them. The French ships then moved into the Chesapeake Bay near Yorktown. The Americans and the French began attacking the British with cannons. Then they fought the British soldiers hand to hand. Cornwallis knew he had no chance to win without more troops. He surrendered to George Washington on October 17, 1781. The war was over. American and French forces had captured or killed half of the British troops in America. The surviving troops left Yorktown playing a popular British song called "The World Turned Upside Down." How were the Americans able to defeat the most powerful nation in the world? Historians give several reasons. The Americans were fighting at home, while the British had to bring troops and supplies from across the ocean. British officers made mistakes, especially General William Howe. His slowness to take action at the start of the war made it possible for the Americans to survive two difficult winters. Historian Gordon Wood at Brown University in Rhode Island says the British also thought more colonists would support them.
When Burgoyne comes down the Hudson Valley, he starts out with an army of 10,000 or so, and he has to hack his way through the woods, and he keeps losing troops to small militia. He counted on more loyalist support than there was, and I think the British miscalculated terribly on that point.
Another reason the Americans won was the help they received from the French. Also, the British public had stopped supporting the long and costly war. Finally, America might not have won without the leadership of George Washington. He never gave up hope.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.